You ready?
Vancouver's favorite way to wake up.
I love their personality. Just what I like. I think it's super funny. Love it.
I'm just going to have to undo my pants.
And those will all address Uranus.
One of the most popular morning radio teams in the business.
And Drew.
Nat Hunter and Drew Savage.
You can get arrested for driving nude.
Can you really?
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, note to self.
Hello, Cher Shandley.
Nat and Drew.
Optimus Prime with Nat and Drew.
Producer James Cameron.
Hey, Nat. Hey, Drew. How you doing?
I'm Sam Smith.
You're listening to Nat and Drew.
Good morning, Vancouver. I'm Carly Rae Jepsen, and you're listening to The Nat and Drew Show.
Here's Nat and Drew.
So have you been sucked into playing Wordle at all over the last several days? It really feels like, for me anyway, over the last week, my timeline, social media timeline, has just been taken over with people who are playing Wordle. Aaron, have you played Wordle? Have you heard of Wordle? Are you familiar?
Okay, can I shock you? I've heard about it. Like, okay. I've seen it, but I don't know what it is.
Joey, have you played Wordle?
I've never, this is the first I'm hearing about the word Wordle.
So Wordle is, it's a word game, and it's really exploded, like, in the last, I guess, you know, based on what I've been reading, it's really exploded over the last several weeks. I've really started to notice it in about the last week, week and a half or so. So it's a word game. Essentially what it is, it's a word game, and it's a different puzzle every day, but there's only one puzzle a day. And what you try to do every day, you try to guess what the five-letter word is, and you get six chances to guess the word. So, for example, I'm on today's puzzle, and it's, again, it's a five-letter word, and you have six tries to try to guess what it is. And they will tell you, based on your guess, whether or not the letter you're using is in the word or not, and if it is in the word, if it's in the right place or not. So my first guess this morning was the word daddy. And I can tell, based on what the Wordle is telling me, the letter A is in the word, but in a different spot. But the last word, or last letter in the word, is a Y. So you get hints every time you make a guess. And then by the end of your six guesses, you try to figure out what the actual word of the day is. So it becomes addictive for people, and it becomes also a source of pride as to how few guesses it takes for you to nail the word. I, of course, went through all six guesses yesterday and couldn't figure it out, and I was like, great, I got sucked in, and only to find out that I suck at playing the game. But I was trying to hold off on getting sucked in, but what kind of swung me to the dark side on this and actually try playing the game is that I find that the guy who created it, and his name is Josh Wordle, I find him to be a really interesting guy, because he seems so opposite to anybody that creates these viral tech things. He says, making Wordle, I specifically rejected a bunch of the things that you're supposed to do for a mobile game, including push notifications or options that allow users to play endlessly. It doesn't collect any data. It has no information on you. You just go to a website and start entering guesses. He and his partner created the game, Palak Shaw. They love crosswords and word games, and just played Wordle between themselves for months before sharing it with their family. And then I think they were the ones that convinced them, you should let other people play. This is really, really, really fun. But he's not necessarily a big fan of the fact that it's gotten so popular. He says, quote, "It going viral doesn't feel great, to be honest. I feel a sense of responsibility for the players. I really feel like I owe it to them to keep things running and make sure everything's working correctly." He has another job. He's not sure how long he's going to keep doing this, because this wasn't his intent. But I kind of like his vibe, and I kind of like his, it is very different. It just seems like it's this pure thing. It's just a word game that's not trying to get anything else from you. It's just a fun little word game to play.
But you like this because you played another game that was really popular.
Words with Friends I used to play.
Yes, you did. This is right in your wheelhouse.
I haven't played Words with Friends. Was essentially just Scrabble. And you'd play online with other friends. I don't play it. I haven't played Words with Friends for a long time. My wife still plays. Like, she's got 10 or 12 games going at any given time. But this is just one puzzle, and it's one puzzle a day. Once you've figured out today's word, or not figured out today's word, you can't play again until tomorrow.
What's the game show where you guess the letters?
Wheel of Fortune?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, the premise of this game is exactly the same as the game Lingo that used to be on the Game Show Network with Chuck Woolery. The premise is exactly the same.
You have five
letters.
Yeah.
And then they keep guessing, and it tells you if the letter is in the word, and if it's in the right spot, it'll tell you it's in the right spot. And the game was called Lingo, and I used to watch it all the time on the Game Show Network.
Oh my gosh, I don't remember Lingo at all. And I used to love game shows back in the day.
Yes. Yeah.
It was my intro to Chuck Woolery. I'd never heard of Chuck Woolery before Lingo. I'm concerned that the guy that invented Wordle is probably also concerned about a lawsuit because it's exactly the same premise. He stole it from Lingo.
You do not want to be in the crosshairs of Chuck Woolery.
Absolutely not.
There are still celebrity couples that people get emotionally invested in for whatever reason, for whatever it is about their story or just about them as individuals that they like. There are celebrity couples that people get emotionally invested in. And I think this was one of them. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet. Mm-hmm. For a number of different reasons. I think there were a lot of people that liked the age difference and that she was older than he was. I think there was something an element that a lot of people thought was really hot, and they're both beautiful and they like the seemingly healthy relationship that they have with everybody's family. Like Jason was buddies with Lisa's ex, Lenny Kravitz. They all got along well together. There were a lot of people that just kind of rooted, I think, for that couple. So they announced yesterday that they were splitting up and would be getting a divorce after being together for about 16 years or so. When we put up the story on our Facebook page, on the Nat and Drew Show Facebook page, also asked what celebrity couple breakup surprised you the most when it happened. We'll get to some of those answers in just a couple of moments, but just a final couple of notes here on the Jason and Lisa. There were some people who were saying they actually weren't surprised at this. Yvette, who it sounds like is an ardent Jason Momoa follower on Instagram, says that he posts all the time with other women and other buddies. I am not surprised at this at all. He has not posted a picture of him and Lisa in a very long time.
Oh.
So it seems like Yvette was onto something here.
Yes,
before the news became public. And Katie's reaction is just that we must protect Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard at all costs.
No kidding.
From here on in.
No kidding.
But in terms of celebrity couple breakups that surprised and really made people sad or disappointed that they broke up, one of the couples that got the most mentions was Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
There are still people emotionally invested in that relationship. Judy was the first I saw on the thread to cite that, and then that kicked off an entire separate discussion with other people weighing in and saying that those two are soulmates and they just don't know it yet. They are going to get back together again someday. The Brad-Jen relationship is really interesting just from the standpoint of how many people were so emotionally invested in that.
Well, absolutely. And then, you know, Team Jen, Team Angelina, like it was juicy, right?
It does feel like, that's it. Because there is a whole other segment of people that's like we're really emotionally invested in the Brad Angelina relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably people that think that maybe after the bitter divorce, maybe nobody.
You're right.
Maybe nobody is holding out hopes for that. Some other kind of more obscure ones that I hadn't even thought of and some I didn't even remember. Dennis Quaid, Sheila says Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan.
Yes, that was horrible.
Really crushed her. And if Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar ever split up, she will be gutted, says Sheila. Amanda points to Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan and thought that they were absolutely the cutest.
Yeah.
You don't like saying his name, but you're a big fan of Channing Tatum, are you not?
I love him. I just watched Magic Mike over the holidays. Not that that's his like quintessential best work, but I enjoy it.
I love that how Aaron has turned Magic Mike into a Christmas movie.
Christmas for Mama.
Oh, it's the gift that just keeps on giving.
A place called the Alt Bar in Ireland just doesn't want to hear about COVID or the pandemic anymore. They have a COVID fine jar. And every time someone mentions COVID, they have to throw in €2, which is about $4.
Okay. So are they raffling off the jackpot at the end of the pandemic or what are they doing
Good
with the
idea.
Money?
Good idea.
I can relate to this somewhat. in that I was at the barbershop yesterday. I got a haircut. And as I realized when I walked out, I think it was the first haircut I've received since the start of the pandemic, where the pandemic didn't come up in conversation at the barbershop.
Nice.
Because the thing at the barbershop is, it's not just the conversation you're having with your barber. It's the conversation that everybody is having within the barbershop. And I was in and out, and the pandemic didn't come up once.
Wow, Drew.
Now, I've probably ruined that in some kind of karmic way by talking about it and acknowledging that now. But in the moment, it was quite refreshing.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, another Hollywood couple getting together. I guess this probably isn't hugely surprising, but after over a year of dating, actress Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are officially engaged. Megan shared the news and video of MGK proposing on Instagram and wrote, quote, "And just as in every lifetime before this one, and as in every lifetime that will follow it, I said yes. And then we drank each other's blood."
Is that a joke? Is that a joke?
No, that's literally what she wrote.
Oh, Megan. You were so cute and wholesome when you were with the 90210 guy.
Yeah. Brian Austin Green.
What happened to her? No, honestly.
I don't know. I mean, she's living her life. She's living her truth. This is her own. This is her one true love. They've been together for many lifetimes. I don't know whether you heard what she wrote, but they've been together for many, many lifetimes. In the other lifetimes, the Brian Austin Green thing never happened. And Machine Gun Kelly has always been there in all of the lives. So anyway, like these two, and whether she's being serious or whether she's just kind of playing it up and being dramatic, like for a fact, like who knows? There was certainly a lot of drama around the proposal because, as I say, she posted a video of the proposal, like actual video. And I don't know whether they're filming a reality show together or not, but it's not like, so she's down on what, or rather he's down on one knee in front of this big building. I don't know whether it's a house or where it is. But they're doing it in front of the building, and then suddenly, like, there's all these edits within the video. So you're getting different points of view. They've got like three camera crews out there filming this from all different kinds of angles. And at what point does this stop being a surprise when you've got a team of people, cameras and and sound people out there? Anyway, so it was just, it's funny for a number of reasons. But congratulations in this lifetime to both Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
And speaking of couples in love, a day after Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson were photographed, cozying up on a dinner date, Kanye West put on a big PDA display with his new girlfriend, actress Julia Fox. They were out, I believe it was also, no, this was in West Hollywood. I guess Pete and Kim have custody of the East Coast, and Kanye and Julia have custody of the West Coast right now. But they were out in West Hollywood last night, and it is PDA City between these two.
I'm Googling that right now.
You want to see the... Are you surprised at Kanye? Like, why... I'm not surprised.
I haven't seen her yet.
Okay. She's an Italian actress, Julia Fox.
Okay.
And Kanye's new muse. Uh-huh. How are you liking Kim and Pete these days? Because you're a big Pete Davidson fan, Aaron.
I'm fully in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
I think it's the best thing for both of them.
Why do you think that way?
They're going to, you know what? They're going to grow. They're going to change. They're going to drink each other's
What a mantra. We're going to grow. We're going to change. We're going to drink each other's blood. Oh, what a mantra to live by. I'm having a bit of a crisis. I asked this question on our Facebook page. Thank you for your sympathy, your empathy, your concern, Aaron.
Crisis.
I appreciate it.
Jeez, well, Drew. That's not usually your wheelhouse. It's usually Joey and me.
Exactly.
Do you feel like I'm treading on your territory by declaring I have a crisis?
No, I'm happy. It's good. I need a break.
Share the crisis around.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you might feel that I'm stretching the use of the word a little bit when I tell you the crisis I'm having is I can't find a breakfast cereal. My favorite breakfast cereals are gone. So I don't know whether anybody else, well, apparently I say I don't know whether anybody else, I should say I didn't know if anybody else was having this issue until I asked the question on the Nat and Drew Show Instagram account on our latest story. Because when I was doing some grocery shopping yesterday, I took a picture of the empty cereal shelves in the cereal aisle. I don't see empty shelves in general. I walked around the entire grocery store, didn't really feel like any shelves were empty. Bread was a little sparse. mm-hmm. but didn't feel like any shelves were empty, like the cereal shelves are empty. And the cereal, as the picture I posted, they're pretty empty right now. So I asked if anybody else was having trouble finding their favorite breakfast cereal, and 65% of the people who participated, hundreds of participants in the poll, 65% said, yes, can't Ooh. Find my favorite breakfast cereal right now. Aaron, do you have a breakfast cereal of choice? Do you have a favorite one?
I love Life.
Life is good. Life is good.
I do. It's my favorite.
Do you have it regularly or?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And guess what?
Oh, you can't find Life. It's not one.
Not
of the
easy
ones.
To find.
Joey, are you a breakfast cereal guy?
No. Breakfast cereal to me is just a bowl full of sugar that doesn't help me in the morning, so I don't even bother.
Well, see, a bowl full of sugar in the morning sounds pretty
makes
good.
Makes the medicine go down.
But Skylar's a big cereal guy, and yeah, it's been a struggle. We've been lucky at Costco getting the giant, enormous boxes that last for months and months and months and months. But he likes Honey Nut Cheerios.
Those, I think, are fairly easy to find. I don't think Cheerios is one of the affected ones. I got a message from somebody who said they work at Safeway. I don't want to say the name, but that they work at Safeway and they can't get their favorite breakfast cereal. So just because you work in the grocery industry doesn't mean you've got like a secret pipeline of it or anything like that.
You don't get to open up the crate.
there have been some rumblings that like there was a strike at Kellogg's. Although I did find a news story that said at the end of December that they had come to an agreement with employees that affected a number of their plants. So I don't know whether this is supply chain or it just takes a while to kind of ramp up production again. So I don't know whether that's playing a part. But for years I was an Edge cereal guy, which was one of the protein cereals, but it just disappeared at the beginning of the pandemic. I think the whole line has been discontinued. Uh-huh. It might not have been a top seller for the company that made it.
I don't think so, Drew.
So it's just gone. So I learned to deal with the absence of Edge by going back to Vector.
Yum.
But I can't find Vector anywhere.
Oh, no.
So Vector's gone because it's a Kellogg cereal.
Okay.
So yesterday I was like, well, I can't do it anymore. I guess I have to audition because my last two favorites... my last two favorite breakfast cereals over the last decade are both gone. So I guess I have to audition new breakfast cereal favorites.
Yes, that'll be fun.
What do I do? Where do I start? So I picked up a couple yesterday. I picked up one of the Kashi cereals.
Delicious.
Yes.
It's a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, healthy version with lots of protein in the Kashi. And then I think the other was the Nature's Path, the Sunrise, and it was like a toasted maple crunch.
Cereal. Ew. But boring.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed in you, Drew. What do you think? Where's Count Chocula?
Not on the shelves, Aaron. It's not.
Okay, what does that tell you?
Shelves.
Only like grainy, granola-y, like that's what's left and all the good stuff is gone.
There are no special varieties of Captain Crunch left whatsoever. But there's lots of cashy on those shelves right now. So I'm doing my, if anybody's got a good suggestion, 604-280-1035, or you can text at 103535. But the breakfast cereal thing is a real crisis. Because I'm not even necessarily breakfast cereal for breakfast. I like going and having a bowl of it when I get home from work.
Yes.
Midday. I could do cereal at any time of the day.
Yes.
It's a little Jerry Seinfeld, how he liked that. I could do the cereal at any time of the day. So I'm in need of help. Help me in my crisis.
Retro News.
Taking a look back on this day in pop culture history. For January 13th, on this day in 1990, MC Hammer released his breakthrough hit.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
It became the first rap song ever to be nominated for Record of the Year at the Grammy Awards. You can't touch this.
Can't touch this.
And I believe it's also responsible for selling a lot of pairs of pants. many pants. If only he had a line. If only he knew. If only he had an
opportunity there.
My gosh. If he had got, but again, like it was his breakthrough. It's not like he was well established at that point. Probably didn't know it was best to have like a dedicated line of Hammer pants at the time the song came out.
Remember how cool that all was?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes. Like, it still makes me so happy to hear that.
If anybody still has a pair of hammer pants kicking around in their closet, let us know. 604-280-1035 or text 103535. Even better, throw them on and send us a picture of you in your hammer pants.
They were kind of the original yoga pants.
Yeah. Well, they were certainly, they weren't as form-fitting as yoga pants, but you could certainly move freely in them. You move very, very freely in them. How much do we love the Vancouver Grizzlies and the memories of the Vancouver Grizzlies in this town? Like, that was a real thing. Aaron, you were here, obviously, during the reign of the Grizzlies. And
yes.
While there were a lot of problems there, there's a lot of love for that team. There's a lot of love.
Oh, and so much fun, right? Those games were some of the funnest events that ever happened in Vancouver.
I don't know how fun this was on January 13th, 1996. The Vancouver Grizzlies did win. They beat the Miami Heat 69-65 at Rogers Arena. I'll go, I guess at that time it was GM Place.
Right.
But they win the game 69-65. If that sounds low for a score in basketball, it's because it is.
Yeah.
The third lowest score for any game in NBA history.
Yeah.
Set here in Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. We did it.
Yeah, I remember my mother, right, who was an American and loved basketball. Yeah. I remember my mother at a game saying, these guys need to make some foul shots. Like, it was, yeah, yeah, you loved the guys.
I love it.
You loved the guys.
I love the coaching suggestions from Jeanette Courtson.
Exactly, exactly. I knew they were in trouble when she had comments.
And finally, on this day in 1963, this is a big one, friends. Thomas Crapper unveiled his invention, the one-piece pedestal flushing toilet. Now, somehow this little factoid that the man who invented the toilet was named Thomas Crapper has eluded Joey.
Yeah.
For his entire 30 years on this planet so far. This is news to you this morning.
I just don't believe that at all. He knew what he was on to, and he obviously had a legal name change.
No, not at all. Thomas Crapper, born September 28th, 1836. He was an English businessman and plumber. And as a matter of fact, Joey, if you were to travel to London, England, and go to Westminster Abbey, there are manholes with his name on it. Manhole dating back to when his company did the plumbing and the sewage and the under. His name is on the manholes. It's actually like a minor British tourist attraction.
Funny.
People go and take their pictures of the manholes with Thomas Crapper's name on it because it's legit. It's absolutely legit.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So the expression came after him.
It's a tribute, really. Tribute to the man named Thomas Crapper.
Nat and Drew's Retro News, weekdays at 6:20.
Some good news for a business that, as I believe, if I've got my Vancouver history correct, a business that's well-known right across the country but started out here once upon a time, finds itself near the tippy top of the list of a new ranking of the 25 best companies in Canada to work for. A job site company called Glassdoor does this list every year, and the way they put it together is they let past and present employees rate the employers on a scale of 1 to 5. Obviously, 1 not so great, 5 is awesome, and then they average all the scores together and they come up with the list of the best places to work according to people who either do work there now or have worked there in the past. So tech companies perform very, very well on this list. In fact, the number one company overall in Canada with an average score of 4.4 out of 5 is Dell Technologies, number one. But the number two company on the list is more in the service industry, a very well-known, beloved brand right across the country. But as I say, I believe it started here once upon a time. The Queen of the West Coast, Aaron Davis, would you like to take a guess?
Well, I mean, if it's service, is it food?
Food service. Yep.
Is it White Spot?
It's the Keg.
The Keg, of course.
It's the Keg.
Oh.
Yes, and it did start here.
The Keg with an average score of 4.3. Nat is off today, but I believe she worked at the Keg.
Right.
Once upon a time.
For a moment, right?
For a moment.
Uh-huh.
I think pretty well documented by Nat herself that she was a terrible, terrible server.
Yeah, she had some interesting adventures in retail. I think she had some time at Sears as well, but definitely the Keg. I just can't remember how long that was, but I mean, the Keg's a great experience for a customer, and it's kind of cool, like, when you find out when there's a place that you really like to go and support as a customer,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of nice to find out that the employees really like it, too.
Yes.
You know, that carries some weight. You know, you don't want a place to be your favorite and then you find out it absolutely stinks to work there.
I agree.
You know, it's good. So anyway, congratulations to the Keg, number two overall on the list. The top ranking company in the travel and tourism category is the Air Canada regional airline Jazz Aviation. Number 10 overall with an average score of 4.2. Air Canada, the mothership, didn't make the top 25.
You know.
So I don't know what
airlines.
That's...
Tough times for airlines.
It is, but apparently not if you fly with Jazz or Aviation. Is that because it's regional and you're doing like shorter trips or whatever?
I've never flown Jazz. Have either of you guys?
No. Joey, have you?
No. No, I've been on Jazz planes, but it was all part of Air Canada because on the East Coast, because you have to fly into Toronto basically to get anywhere. They always fly you on a Jazz plane to get to the other places.
But I think that's exactly what they're talking about. I think the people that work for Jazz or Jazz Aviation they literally just work Jazz. It's not like they're going from like one of the big Air Canada planes and then hopping onto Jazz. They have their own dedicated workforce.
Well, I was surprised when they gave us a free can of pop.
Oh!
That was nice. That was a nice treat. That only was on the Jazz part of the flight. So that was for the hour-long flight, not the four-hour flight that followed it.
They usually don't give you the full can on the regular flights. They pour you your half can that you're entitled to. And then they hold
glass.
On to in the tiny glass, and they hold on to that can. So if you got a whole can, that is hitting the jackpot when you're flying these days.
It's Nat and Drew's $1,000 Minute.
Brought to you by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Natasha is in Coquitlam this morning and is going to try to make it two $1,000 winners in a row here this morning. Hi, Natasha.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where do we find you? Are you at home? Are you working from home? Are you at work? Where are you at this morning?
I'm working from home.
And has been the case the whole time, or were you somebody who was back for a little bit and has now been sent back home?
It's pretty much been the whole time.
The whole time. Joey's back at home and seems to be loving it a lot.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was unfortunate that I got COVID and that's what caused it, but...
Nonetheless,
I am happy to be here, and so are my dogs.
Well, good luck to you this morning, Natasha. We've got 10 trivia questions, 60 seconds on the clock. Answer them all correctly within the time limit, and of course, you win the big money, $1,000. If not, it's $10 for each correct answer you do give us this morning. If you don't know the answer, say pass. We'll get back to it if there's time, but once you give us an answer, it counts and cannot be changed, okay? Good luck, Natasha. Here we go. $1,000 Minute starts right now. What is the name of the...
Gotham City.
Name a letter in Scrabble that is worth 10 points.
X.
It's Patrick Dempsey's birthday. Who did he play on Grey's Anatomy?
McDreamy.
Richard Dawson and Ray Combs, both hosts of what TV show?
Pass.
Thomas Crapper invented what in 1863?
Toilet paper.
What is 10% of 700,000?
7,000.
Lisa Bonet just split from her partner of 16 years. What's his name?
Jason with the M name that I can't pronounce.
Jason. We'll take Jason.
Mazoma.
Jim Pattison owns what grocery store chain?
Save on Foods.
Arabica and Robusta are both types of what?
Coffee.
Gilmore Station is located in what lower mainland city?
Surrey.
Richard Dawson and Ray Combs hosted what TV show?
And it's Burnaby for Gilmore. And coffee beans. I don't know if coffee's specific enough.
I think saying coffee's fine.
I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm not an expert on
Neither
these
am
things.
I.
But you convinced me you knew the answer, so that's good.
Yeah. And Scrabble, you were close. It's actually Q and Z that are worth 10 points, not X. And then you passed on Richard Dawson and Ray Combs. They were Family Feud. So Richard Dawson was first, then Ray Combs was after him. It was Family Feud, yeah. And then Thomas Crapper didn't actually, I know Crapper kind of put me through you, but it actually wasn't toilet paper. He invented the toilet, the one-piece pedestal toilet.
The flushing toilet. Thomas Crapper.
Okay.
That's right. And then 10% of 700,000 is actually 70,000, not 7,000.
7,000 would have been 1%. 70,000 is 10%. Yeah. 5 out of 10, 50 bucks, Natasha. Nice. 50 bucks. Yes.
I just can't seem to break past that $50 barrier.
The top things that we nag each other about on kind of a regular basis in every home is this: turning off the lights, leaving dirty clothes on the floor, and not replacing the toilet paper.
The toilet pepper. Wow. Getting spicy.
Very.
Spicy in the bathroom. You do reach a point, or is this me, where you no longer nag out loud. You just quietly kind of curse your partner out to yourself.
Yep.
I can't believe you still don't know how to load the dishwasher correctly.
Just like mutter to yourself.
Muttering. Do you say, if Skylar does something, like, do you and Skylar talk about it? Do you nag each other about stuff? Do you mutter to yourself? Do you keep it to yourself and have the internal dialogue? What do you do, Joey?
Well, so I wouldn't call it talking, but I certainly don't keep it to myself.
Okay.
I say it quite loud, you know, saying, I don't understand. We've loaded the dishwasher a million times. How do you still do this wrong every time?
You know what? As soon as I said out loud, Joey, do you keep it to yourself? I realized how silly that sounded. It's like, no, Joey's not keeping anything to himself. That's not Joey. Some news about schools has come down in the last couple of days. I mean, different things are happening at different schools and different levels of schools. For parents of university students, they've been waiting to find out what's going on there. I think UBC announced yesterday that they were going to continue with online learning until February. But at UVic over on the island, they're going back to class, and that affects Aaron's family because it means for the first time in a month, or being at home for the last month or so, Ainsley's going to be leaving again soon.
Yeah, my dear Ainsley, first year university at UVic, living in residence. And, you know, they had they pushed back their return to class, as most universities have, but they've stuck with so far their plan to go back January 24th. So not this week, but next week. But Ainsley announced last night she's going back this weekend. And I have to say, I'm devastated. I mean, honestly, I've loved having her here, of course. And there's no reason for her to go back, right? She'll be online next week and she can stay here in her cozy home with her mom who loves her and her father and sister, of course. But I can't
believe it. But most of all, the mother who loves her.
Mostly her mom. Yeah. But it's like, I think to myself, okay, she's returning to a concrete box. Mm-hmm. She lives in a concrete box in residence and she eats in a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, like, how badly are you failing as a parent when your kid wants to leave their cozy home and go back to that?
Well, I think, you know, kids, teenagers that have had a taste of independent life at university residence, because she started there in September.
Yes.
And then they go back home and the first week's awesome. Second week's awesome. Third week, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Week number 4.
You've hit the wall.
It's time to go back. So I know my mother loves me, but I'd like a little, you know, I'd like to miss my mom for a little bit.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd like to miss my mom. And I hear on Instagram there's a big Omicron party going on this weekend, and I really want to get back to
that might be it.
Are you going to have an Omicron party talk with her before she goes back?
I think so. Yeah. Don't go to those.
No, but
I'm just like, you know, honestly, like, I'm working from home right now as well. Joey and I are both at home. And, you know, so after I'm done my shift, I knock on her door and I'm like, would you like some tea? What can I bring you? Like, she honestly has, you know, full room service here. Like, and I can't believe she wants to leave.
I
wonder why she wants to leave. Hello, honey, please. Do you want some tea? No, just still sleeping. Please.
Do you want to spend time with me now?
Yeah.
How about now? Right. What show do you want to watch? Oh, you want to sleep some more? Okay.
All right. You're on to me. Yeah. You're on to me.
No, it's all good. You've had a great 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You will have more time again. Yes. Who knows how this is going to go? She might be right back home in another month. Who knows?
That's nervous laughter.
It's time. It's time for her to go back, at least in the short term.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, a real surprising celebrity split. Now, I know we shouldn't say that about any celebrity couple because they're celebrities and they get together and they break up all the time. But there had been no rumblings of this whatsoever. And I think people are genuinely sad about this one. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet announced that they were breaking up. They've been together for about 15, 16 years, only really married the last 4 or 5, but have been together since 05. And they announced yesterday that they are, quote, parting ways in marriage. We free each other to be who we are learning to become. Nothing super specific. Or anything like
at
that.
At all. Bit of a catch-all statement there.
Yeah.
We free each other to be who we are learning to become. So I don't know whether there's a little, you spent too much time together during the pandemic and they're learning that maybe they're not best suited to be together. I don't know, because there's literally been no rumors about either of them for, like, as long as I can remember. And this is striking people as a little sad. Aaron, you were invested in these two.
I love them. I mean, they're both the hottest people on the planet, you know? And then just, of course, the fact that they're both best friends with Lenny Kravitz.
I know.
It's just so, the whole thing looked so good from the outside. It was kind of aspirational, right?
Very much so. And specifically citing the Lenny Kravitz thing. So Lenny, earlier married to Lisa Bonet. They are the parents of Zoe Kravitz. And not only do Lisa and Lenny have a great relationship, Jason and Lenny appeared to be good friends.
Yes.
I actually hope that everybody gets to stay friends with Lenny Kravitz now that this is all over.
But it's also getting a little crowded for Lisa Bonet. Like, the next guy that she's with, it's going to be Jason Momoa and Lenny Kravitz. Like, it's getting a bit crowded in here, don't you think?
And can you imagine being the next guy, how hot you have to be that company of men?
Oh, my God.
Like, Lenny Kravitz is, like, in his mid-50s and is absolutely shredded. Shredded. The guy has abs for days, and we all know Jason Momoa. Yeah. That's a tough company to be in.
You're right.
You don't want to
go
on a big family tropical vacation somewhere.
No kidding.
You have to be on a beach next to those two guys. Oh, my God. Kylie Jenner, some Instagram stats here. Kylie Jenner now the most followed woman on Instagram with over 300 million followers. The most followed man on Instagram is soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo with 389 million. Did you know this? The most followed account, though, on Instagram is not a man or a woman. It's the official Instagram account. The Instagram account for Instagram with 460 million followers. Do you follow Instagram, Aaron?
No. I didn't even know you could.
Joey, do you follow Instagram?
No, of course. I'm the same as Aaron. I didn't know that existed.
I had no idea either until this very moment.
Are there special treats, or, like, do you get points to be part of the club, or what?
Instagram bucks.
What I was going to say, Joey, is that maybe Instagram's buying all these fake followers to prop up their service. I don't know anybody who's actually following Instagram proper. It's weird.
Catch the Nat and Drew Show weekday mornings from 5:30 to 10. Move 103.5.